This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Istanbul hosts the latest round of Russia-Ukraine peace talks, but there is little hope of a breakthrough. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Negotiators are sitting down for face-to-face talks for the first time in more than 2 weeks today, and they're being urged to produce concrete results. Ukraine says it wants a ceasefire and will consider Moscow's demand for neutrality, but it says it will not compromise on territory or sovereignty. Speaking before the talks began in his country, Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan said a lot is riding on today's dialogue.
We believe that a just peace will not have any losers. It is not to the benefit of anyone for the conflict to be prolonged. Every person who dies, every building destroyed, every resource thrown into the air or buried in the ground, instead of being spent for prosperity, is a value that is taking away from our common future. It is up to the parties to stop this shared tragedy.
Russia currently holds one major Ukrainian city, Kherson, in the south of the country, but even that occupation is tenuous, with Ukrainian troops reportedly on the offensive there. That could offer a sliver of good news for the people in the southern port city of Odessa. The port itself has so far remained unscathed, and recently music venues and other businesses have gained the confidence to reopen. The BBC's Andrew Harding has that story.
Mines and razor wire lie in a windy beach in Odessa. The Russian Navy lurking somewhere over the horizon. For months now, this giant port has been braced for a possible amphibious assault. And yet, the city itself is starting to relax. Restaurants reopening. This club now hosting small concerts in the late afternoons before curfew. The drummer here today is Alexander Hodosevich.
I think the city is coming alive, I feel.
People think that Odessa won't be attacked?
I think the people believe in our army who are protecting us and feel comfortable.
And here's why Alexander may be right. Russia's advance west along the Black Sea coast from Crimea has stalled, more than stalled. In places, Ukrainian troops are now on the counterattack, which may explain these tense scenes at a protest rally in Kherson, a frontline city occupied by the Russians, but a place they're having growing trouble controlling. University lecturer Lada Danik lives in Kherson. She says the Russians have started cracking down on protests and making more arrests.
They're starting also kidnap people and go to the apartments, to the places where people live. I think they are in panic.
Panic or not, the Russian push towards Odessa, Ukraine's third largest city and key export hub, is not going well. The security analyst Hannah Scheller suspects that won't change.
It seems to me that's just impossible. If you look to the technical conditions, to the strategic terrain, Odessa has never been the city for easy taking. The history proved it several times.
And speaking of history, I've come down deep under Odessa into the city's ancient catacombs. I'm with Maxim Baradievsky, who is a guide here. In past wars, these catacombs have been used as air raid shelters, and that's what's happening again here as we walk deeper into the dark, where people have brought down mattresses, water, supplies. So there's some graffiti there from the Second World War, telling Hitler to go away, saying death to fascism. The past and the present mingling in the musty tunnels beneath Odessa.
That's the BBC's Andrew Harding reporting from Ukraine's third largest city there. Checking the numbers now, Russia's ruble currency is up about 2% against the U.S. dollar this morning. That's still down more than 23% so far this year. Crude oil prices, meanwhile, are up about 1% after energy ministers of Saudi Arabia and the UAE said today they've done what they can to try to stabilize oil markets after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. East Africa's Free Trade Bloc is getting a new member today. The BBC's Joyce Itutu explains the economic significance of the Democratic Republic of Congo's membership in the East African community.
From languages to music and food, East African countries share many parts of their culture with the DRC. Now, the EAC has decided to begin an economic partnership with the second largest country in Africa. Despite sharing borders with five EAC members, trade between the DRC and its neighbouring countries has been low, with the country's main importers being China, Zambia and South Africa. This new partnership means trading opportunities can increase between the regions. As well as other benefits, the DRC will gain access to two main seaports in the region, Mombasa and Dar es Salaam, allowing goods to be imported and exported at a faster rate. This change also means civilians of the Congo will now be able to move freely between member states. In Nairobi, I'm the BBC's Joy Tutu for Marketplace.
To India now, where we're following day two of a national trade union strike. 200 million protesters were expected to target everything from banking operations to public transportation and railway services. But the strikes haven't gone exactly to plan. The BBC's Arunade Mukherjee said in the capital, New Delhi, where he's based, it's hard to tell there's even a strike happening.
The protests that we're seeing, Victoria, are essentially in places which are considered to be strongholds of the political opposition, and especially where there is a more communist or a leftist presence. That's where these unions are stronger. In these particular places, public transport, banking services have been partially affected, but essential services largely remain unaffected. It was essentially just to test waters, is what many of the protesters had said, bring their issues in the mainstream and say that, look, we are not happy. From time to time, you might just see us go on protest.
So this is all coming after some big elections that have just taken place across the country.
That's right, Victoria. And that's why these protests are all the more important. The government will be using the results of these elections because they did very well. So they're buoyed and confident that they're clearly doing something right. But despite these victories, you have huge pockets of the working class which are not happy with a lot of the economic policies that have been drafted by the government. You'd remember the protests against the farm laws, which the government had to roll back. That was the first time we've seen a major policy rollback by this government. So there is a sense that if there can be enough pressure that is built on the government, then perhaps this could go in the same direction regarding the other economic policies like the new labor laws. But again, these protests that we're seeing compared to the farmers' protests last year, which were a year long, there is a world of a difference.
The BBC's Arunade Mukherjee for us in New Delhi. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
Thanks, Victoria.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.